Blog Talk Radio.
I get mushy now.
This is Mad Daddy on the Saturday flight from the Tower of Power, the very top story in my wavy, gravy, groovy, gravy rocket laboratory, where we're bending every effort and making every test to be sure that our records are always the best. You see, well, before we play them on this crazy, wavy air, we dip them in this smoking vat with extra special care. Wearing thick, big rubber gloves and using special tongs, we make the Mad Dad acid test on the up-and-coming songs.
Wow, good evening and welcome to Erie House Radio number 500. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show, here along with
the guy who totes the records around for Dale Kay the DJ, Dave Binkley from Weirdness Really Bad Movie, and Spaceship One.
Yep, and since we had so much fun on Halloween with an all-musical night, we thought we'd do it again. And what better occasion than 500? Hello, Angel, who just popped into the chat, along with Fogsbane and GGSI Paper, who have been here from the beginning. Thanks for joining us. As, you know, we're going to just take you through World War II, sort of. Emulate my partner here, who themes up all our radio programs each and every weekend with his vast knowledge of all these radio shows and an incredible database. And I thought, well, why don't I use the same general concept and group these songs together with different aspects of World War II? So we're going to take it from the beginning up until its inevitable conclusion. So,
yep, where we win. Which doesn't happen much anymore.
Are you sure? Did we win?
Sure we did. Look how successful Japan came. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. No, and speaking of which, if you have tender sensibilities, beware, there's some ethnic slurs in some of these songs against the enemy of the day.
Yeah, and it's not meant to really tick anybody off, but these are a part of history, and we're not trying to – Dale and I don't generally whitewash them anyway, but it certainly is not something that – and even then, it wasn't necessarily meant to offend. I mean, we were offended because of what – being attacked at Pearl Harbor, and then
what we did with – the atrocities in Europe and everything.
The atrocities in Europe and the atrocities we didn't even know about until we really got into Europe and what happened and how different that could have been if Hitler had just some of the most amazing scientists in the world, and not just with rocketry but jet propulsion, that towards the end of the world they had created actually jets, and our guys could not catch them, could barely see them as they went by so fast. Had he had more time in the war, Adolf could have prevailed because he was also heading towards the bomb himself. So,
well, I'm glad most of all, because I don't think I would want to eat sauerkraut on the 4th of July. It's just me. I don't. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's true. You know, although a good beer in the Stein there is okay. But, you know, really, that's where you want to go with it. But it is truly amazing because, you know, starting off with when Dale, he grouped these together from our first entry into it to the eventual outcome. I just, when the first time Dale showed this, I was just in awe. I said, man, what a great job. And you guys are really good. And I know how much you guys enjoy the music in the big band era. And so much of this has actually come off of V-discs from the era, which we'll get into a little bit later in the broadcast.
Yes, we want to know more about the V-discs and where this great music came from. You know, World War II, we still had something called the draft. That's where the government kind of looked around at young fellows, maybe 19, 20 years old. Hey, come with us. You're in the service now. You got the letter that starts with greetings.
Said,
you know, that was bad
greetings.
News.
Yep. Yeah.
It means you're getting a change of wardrobe, buddy. And your
It's about as it would have been almost as exciting today as getting a letter saying you are being audited. You know,
yeah.
The government. You know, those are the two most exciting types of letters you could get. But some people didn't wait for that. I had some volunteers that actually right out of high school. Actually, some of them didn't even graduate. They lied about their age and joined the Army in World War II for to serve our country.
Yes, that was a very, very patriotic time. I don't know if we'll ever see the country as unified as it seemed to be, at least looking back and what we've heard from a generation before us. So, you know, guys joined up, and our first set of songs is about going to war. And our first one is by a young lady named Mildred Bailey. the suit of the day was called a zoot suit, and this one's called Since He Traded In His Zoot Suit for a Uniform.
Since he traded his zoot suit for a uniform, he looks different, so different to me now. Checkered coat, baggy pants, his hat was all brim. You'd see that suit a mile away before you see him. He was known as the killer diller fashion plate. Still, he never appealed to me somehow. But since he traded his zoot suit for a uniform, he certainly looks good to me now. Mildred Bailey. You can do an important job for Uncle Sam right now. Fill up your war stamp albums and turn them into war bonds. Remember, war stamps will not pay you any interest. In 10 years, your $18.75 invested in a war bond will pay you $25 in cash. Just say yes and keep on buying war bonds and stamps every week or every payday. Lend America your fighting dollars and save for victory.
An awful sad guy since I cut my hair. Gee, I got a GI haircut, and I wouldn't even care what four more gals give me the glad eye with my head so bare. Army barbers sure are whizzes, up and down they go with scissors. Soon your hair is on the floor, and boom, brother, there ain't no more. When I told him how I'd want it, trimmed a bit with hair oil on it, 19 yard birds held me there, and gee, I got a GI haircut.
Johnny got a haircut, 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 Johnny got a haircut.
Barber's chair. No more sideburns, they're too fancy. Nothing quite so fancy-pansy. Sissy stuff is what it's called. And boom, brother, they leave you bald. I was sure it wouldn't happen, but the barber caught me napping when I climbed into his chair. And gee, I got a GI haircut. I'm in the army now. They took my number out of a hat, and there's nothing a guy can do about that. But when I get back, I'll be all tanned and brown, and we'll buy that cottage just outside of town. So goodbye, dear, I'll be back in a year. Don't forget that I love you. Like this, stop your crying and give your soldier a kiss. They may send me out to the old Philippines, but sweetheart, you'll still be the girl of my dreams. So goodbye, dear, I'll be back in a year. Don't forget that I love you.
Yeah, and the guys are getting ready to go to war with, after Zoot Suit, we had Spike Jones with GI Haircut, and then Goodbye Dear, I'll Be Back in a Year. Dave, who's the artist on that? Do you have any idea?
Now you ask. Hang on, I got the, oh, shoot.
While he's looking. Women didn't really have the opportunity to go. There were the WACs and the WAVES, but there just weren't as many military opportunities like there are today. So many of the gals stayed at home. And our next set is about the gals at home. Now, some of them were pining for their boyfriends, but some of them went right to action. Just like in this song by the Four Vagabonds. With Rosie the Riveter.
All the day long, whether rain or shine, she's the part of the assembly line. She's making history, working for victory. Rosie, the riveter, keeps a sharp lookout for sabotage. Sitting up there on the fuselage, that little prayer can do more than a mare can do. Rosie, the riveter, Rosie's got a boyfriend, Charlie. Charlie, he's the marine. Rosie is protecting Charlie, working overtime on the riveting machine. When they gave her a production knee, she was as proud as a girl could be. There's something true about red, white, and blue about Rosie, the riveter.
Beep, 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 beep. till my baby comes home. No, sir, no, nothing, as long as baby must roam. I promised him I'd wait for him till even hate is froze. I'm lonesome, heaven knows, but what I said still goes. No love, no nothing, and that's a promise I'll keep. No fun with no one, I'm getting plenty of sleep. My heart's on strike, and though it's like an empty honeycomb, no love, no sir, no nothing till my baby comes home.
That's the gals back at home for World War II.
Yep. I think that was LMA Morris. And then, of course, you asked about the Goodbye Dear, I'll Be Back in a Year. That was the Dick Robertson Orchestra. Before we go on, Dale, I wanted to mention in the first one in the set, which was Rosie the Riveter, I just think interesting that during the day, a lot of black singing groups were not allowed into the studios, and they weren't really allowed unless they had a black orchestra to have an orchestra or band with them. So all those music sounds and such, the bass sound, the only actual instrument in that entire song was a guitar. The rest of it, the bass was done by doing a boom, 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 and then they did like horn sounds. They all made those with their mouths, much like the Mills Brothers did in many occasions, including releasing a song called Caravan that was completely done with the voice orchestra sounds. Not, they didn't sing one word in it. They used their mouths to make orchestra sounds to play the song Caravan. You can look it up on YouTube and see them do it. So
that'd be pretty amazing.
I just, the first time I heard that, I'm a big fan of the Mills Brothers being guys from, I think it was Piqua, Ohio. And so being guys from Ohio, I did want to always have loved those guys. And they just were just so much out there. And then the first time I heard Caravan, that they did strictly with the guitar and only their voices, it just completely blew me away. And since then, I found other groups like this one here. And I think the Ink Spots did a lot of that as well. So
maybe in the future, we'll have some of that right here on Erie House Radio. Now, not only the gals stayed at home during the war, some of the fellows did too. They were either too old to be drafted or maybe had jobs. Maybe they were in college, but we had to worry about attacks from overseas more so than we do today. Radar was in its infancy. You know, you didn't have satellites and so forth. So, you know, a plane could raid. Look what happened in Pearl Harbor. In any event, there was a thing called the Air Raid Warden. All right, so somebody was hired to kind of watch the neighborhood and watch for aircraft to warn the neighborhood.
Well, it wasn't just that. They were also there making sure that no light was coming from your house, especially if you lived on the coasts, east or west, if you were in a city that was a big target. They want to make sure there was no light emanating from your house that would help these planes, the possible planes coming from these other countries, to give them a target.
That's why occasionally in a Warner Brothers cartoon, you'll hear some characters scream lights out. That's what that was all about.
Yeah, exactly.
And this next one, this next set, is all about defending the home front. Different ways, and Air Raid Warden is just one of them. This next song is by Tony Pastor. Obey your Air Warden.
One, be calm. Two, get under shelter. Three, don't run. Obey your Air Raid Warden. Four, stay home. Five, keep off the highway. Six, don't phone. Obey your Air Raid Warden.
There are rules that you should know, what to do and where to go. When you hear the sirens blow,
stop, look, and listen. Seven, no smoke. Eight, help all the kiddies. Most of all, obey your Air Raid Warden.
Information. Most of all, obey your Air Raid Warden.
Stop the panic, don't get in a huff. Our aim today is to call their bluff. Follow these rules and that is enough. Obey your Air Raid Warden.
Chinese laundryman, the famous Mr. Wu. He's chucked his limehouse laundry shop and his window cleaning too. He's got another job and it's one of the best. Now he's doing his bit for England like the rest. And Mr. Wu is now an Air Raid Warden, and don't he look cute in his new siren suit. He goes round every night to make the blackout sure. So if you've got a chink in your window, hey, you'll have another one at your door. His headquarters, it's plain, are down by Lover's Lane, and he goes there every evening anyhow. He'll flash his torch into the dark, and the girls all cover their laundry mark, 'cause Mr. Wu's an Air Raid Warden now. One night while on his beat, a couple he did meet, they were cuddling in a shelter anyhow. He said, the old clear's gone, you see, and the chap said, boy, you're telling me, 'cause Mr. Wu's an Air Raid Warden now. Cousin one way in, one day was helping him to move a time bomb from their shop, I vow. But it went off bang and there's no doubt, one way in flew, one way out, and Mr. Wu's no air raid warden now. Oh, Mr. Wu is now an air raid warden, and don't he look cute in his new siren suit. He goes round every night to make the blackout sure, so if you've got a chink in your window, hey, you'll have another one at your door. A firebomb dropped one day so close to him, they say, that he deserves a medal, they all vow. But perhaps what you don't understand, he put the fire out but he didn't use sand, 'cause Mr. Wu's an air raid warden now.
Unstrung. Harmonica. Just from a slip of the tongue.
Don't talk about the weather.
It's a military secret.
Just keep your wits together.
That's the safest way to keep it.
These are critical times. Be careful of espionage.
In such critical times, you've got to watch out for sabotage.
If you must talk to someone,
don't give any information.
It's smart to be a dumb one. Simply change the conversation.
Let's just talk about love, 'cause that's what I'm thinking of. And
it's no military secret that I love you.
About romancing.
If you can keep a secret,
well, can I take you dancing?
If you'll take my heart and keep it, I'm not saying a word. I'm careful whatever I do.
I guess everyone's heard. I want to give all my love to you.
If you gotta talk to someone, don't give any information. It's smart to be a dumb one. Simply change the conversation.
Let's talk about love.
That's what I'm thinking of.
It's no secret, no secret. It's no secret that I love you.
The great Glenn Miller. Shh, it's a military secret. And before that, George Formby, Mr. Wu's an air warden now.
Yep, that only shows that even the Brits could be unpolitically correct at that time.
Oh, indeed. Indeed they were.
You know, Dale, I was just thinking here, there was a lot of radio programs that were impacted by the war as well, and how they even changed in sometimes their narrative. I remember on December 8th, the day after the bombing of Pearl Harbor, it was a night for Fibber McGee and Molly to go on. They went on, but Don Quinn added this one line. There was an episode where Fibber claimed that he could get anything wholesale for anybody. They could buy it, you know, he could buy it for them and they would pay him. And one of the guys said, well, you know, I am looking for a current globe. And Molly said, do you want one with Japan on it? And he said, well, yes, of course. And she said, well, you better get it in a hurry. And the whole studio just, it was a showstopper. The whole studio just burst into applause, and they had to wait about half a minute before they could continue on with the show. Because that was the day after Pearl Harbor had been bombed. So,
yeah, it was quite a time. You know, a lot of folks my age, their parents were either in the war or at home supporting the war. There were so many things going on, various paper drives and metal drives, you know, even collector lard.
Your tubs and everything. Yeah, and your comic books. Kids turn in their comic books.
No.
And
wait a minute now. Easy there,
turn
Frederick
them in, Dale.
Wortham.
Turn them in,
easy.
Dale. Turn them in.
Easy there, Frederick Wortham. Yeah, get in the comic books.
Oh, my. This is a lot of fun, Dale.
It is. All these great tunes. Some more coming. In fact, it's time we got into the various branches of the service that our fighting men had joined. And let's begin with a little Bing Crosby in What Do You Do in the Infantry?
What do you do in the infantry? You march, you march, you march. What do you do when your pack has got your back as stiff as dark? There's many a fall in the cavalry, but never a fall in arms. What do you do in the infantry? You march, you march, you march. What do you do in the infantry? You hike, you hike, you hike. What do you get in the infantry? A left and right a blank. The son of a gun in the signal corps is traveling on a bike. And what do you do in the infantry? You hike, you hike, you hike. The hard way, the hard way. Sweat till you get there, the hard way. What do you do in the infantry? You win, you win, you win. What do you do for the victory? You're moving to Berlin. The rest of the army is riding, riding through a triumphal arch. What do you do in the infantry? You march.
Go, break, march.
You march.
Go, break, march.
March.
Infantry.
You march.
You march.
You march.
What do you do when your pack has got your back to since the start?
There's many a fall in the cavalry,
but never a fall in arch.
And what do you do in the infantry?
You march and march and march.
What do you do in the infantry?
You hike.
You hike.
You hike.
What do you get in the infantry?
A left
and right.
A blank.
The son of a gun in the signal corps is traveling on a bike.
So what do you do in the infantry?
You hike, you hike, you hike.
The hard way, the hard way. Sweat till you get there, the hard way.
What do you do in the infantry?
You win, you win, you win.
What do you do for the victory?
You're moving to Berlin. The rest of the army is riding, riding through a triumphal arch. And what do you do in the infantry?
You march.
Thank you.
Everybody knows the riverboat to Robert E. Lee. She's an old side whaler built in 1903. But friends, if it's in history you're wanting to delve, why she ran aground in Natchez back in 1912. So good people, let me bring the story up to date. There's another Robert E. Lee, let me elucidate. She went down the ways in Boston for her maiden trip, and she ain't no side whaling catfish, she's a Liberty ship. Oh well, they loaded her with airplanes and guns and tanks. Then they filled her to the gunnels with 1,000 yanks. They didn't know where they were going, not a soul would tell. And she got her maiden christened in with shot and shell. But she brought her cargo through and dumped them at Oran. Every mother's son among them never lost a man. She come back and did it twice again, and I'll be blowed. Why, here she comes again to get another load. And you can see her chugging along. Hear them singing a song.
She's gonna blow.
Blow.
Now.
Now.
Go.
Go.
Now.
Now equipment is heavy, but everyone's ready. Cause they've all been waiting this day to get a chance to join in the fray. It's simply great, mate, joining the invasion, sailing on the Robert E. Lee.
Casey Jr. was a gentleman's name. He's the fighting son of Casey, and his name is the same. The call to scramble came at 4:30, and Casey started out to even up the score. He mounted to the cabin with his orders in his hand, and he said to knock the stuffing out of Tojo Land. Well, Casey Jones, he mounted to the cabin, Casey Jones, with his orders in his hand. Casey Jones, he mounted to the cabin, set to knock the stuffing out of Tojo Land. In Shangri-La, they got aboard the plane. The ceiling was high, not a sign of rain. They revved up the motors and got set to go to pay an unexpected visit on Tokyo. In climbed Casey, he's the bombardier. Doolittle read the orders and they gave a cheer. For land, a baron hanging in the bays below. Where's the mighty party calling cars for Tokyo? They flew and they flew across the deep blue sky, with everyone among them there to do or die. And let me tell you, people, the feeling was grand when they sighted up the targets over Tojo Land. Now all of the sounds they ever heard that day, the sweetest one of all was bombs away. They strafed them in the harbor, the streets and in the square, and then they headed for a landing down in
you-know-where. Well, Casey Jones
was working for the nation.
Casey Jones
with his orders in his hand. Casey Jones was working for the nation, and he sent those monkeys to the promised land.
Tribute to the Air Force, the bombardier Casey Jones. I'm not sure who did that. Was that Spike Jones also, Dave?
That was Spike Jones. Yeah, Spike had a whole show of World War II songs that he would go around performing in shows during World War II. And of course, we haven't even got to his most famous one yet. But yeah,
yeah. And the one prior to that was Sailing on the Robert E. Lee, of course, by Spike Jones, as a little tribute to our
right.
Sailors.
Mm-hmm. And then the infantry, the good old army, you know, before that.
Yes, sir, with Bing.
We do the infantry, you march, you march, you march. Thank you, Bing.
And,
you know, and during that time, yeah, I was going to say, during that time, Bing hooked up with the Andrews sisters a lot during the war years there. And just as he did in the mid to late 50s, he hooked up with Rosemary Clooney and sang a lot of duets and such. They had whole radio programs of those two, 15-minute programs that would go on in the afternoon. So
that was our fighting man. And our next little set here is a little bit about the guys thinking about home as they're either preparing to go to war or they're already at war. And the first one in this very short set is Guy Lombardo. Ma, I miss your apple pie.
Connecticut, or Wyoming, north or south, east or west, wherever you're
right, before Alaska and Hawaii. There were only 48. Ah, you are celebrating our 500th show here at Erie House Radio with music from World War II.
You know, Dale, it was especially hard on the servicemen being away all that time, and it didn't help when people like Mildred Gillers, who was better known, nicknamed Axis Sally, who would broadcast to using even a lot of times a lot of American records and stuff, broadcast to U.S. Servicemen in Europe. And they were just basically disseminating propaganda, telling them the war is lost, you need to give up, you need to go home, you need to leave your army unit or whatever. And following her capture in post-war Berlin, she became the first woman to be convicted of treason against the United States. Of course, the one that most people heard of more than that was Tokyo Rose, who basically did the same thing with Japan. And actually, it was several different women who took on that role so they could broadcast as much as they could. Again, using many times U.S. tunes that the guys would, and just basically trying to wear them down psychologically. So yes, that was an important part of a radio in Europe and in the islands back during World War II as well.
Yep. Now we can just play Celine Dion real loud and just the other side will drop their weapons and run, you know.
Hey, no, not a Canadian. Come on. Okay, she's French-Canadian, so okay.
Unless it's France, they might surrender. I don't know. quite a war, the last really good one.
Well, had some of the best music, that's for sure. You know, music and wars have gone together from Civil War and maybe
even the Revolution. Even the Revolution.
Yeah, I mean, using Yankee Doodle. And what's funny with the Revolutionary War, basically we stole English drinking songs and turned them into American fighting songs.
No, that'll teach them. But that's another war.
That's another war. We're into World War II this time. Yeah,
we are. And a lot of culture was impacted, and some of the great and due to those paper drives, that's why the comic books from that era are so highly sought after and extremely expensive. You get your Captain America's and the Human Torch and Superman, Batman fighting the enemy in these comics.
Yeah, yep, and many of the other pulps changed two things. One, a lot of them people turn in their pulps, but the paper that they made for the pulps were an inferior grade, and if there's any of those left, and I have a few of those, they aren't very strong paper, and they become very brittle.
I've only seen them at a trade show once, and they were in horrid shape, and that was like probably 30 years ago.
Yeah.
They could have decimated by now.
Yep. Wonder Woman 2, you're right, CW. And
I have
a couple of those, of some of the old pulps, the detective type ones. And yeah, you got to be very careful with them, that's for sure.
Yep. I can't forget Wonder Woman. She had American colors, red, white, and blue in her costume.
There you go.
And there were many of her comics, too, fighting the enemy, fighting Hitler, fighting Mussolini. But our soldiers back home or abroad sure knew how to party. And some of the greatest music in the world came out swing. And, Dave, you were talking about V-discs. This would be a good time to educate them a little bit more before we jump into this next set.
Well, the V-discs actually were produced really from 1943 to 1949, so we'd already been in the war for 2 years before it started out. It was a record label that was produced music for U.S. military force between 1943 and 49, pressed on 12-inch 78 RPM phonograph discs. Most of the V-discs recorded were pressed on a mixture of vinyl light and Formvar, making it such easier to dispatch records without breakage. Many of the brittle shellac records sent by relatives arrived in pieces, although Columbia, one of the companies that pressed V-discs, did continue to use the shellac despite it being short in short supply during World War II. The V-Disc label came, and actually that mixture of vinylite and formvar is really a lot closer to what we remember as the old 33 RPM albums, a lot more like that, a little bit more durable and not quite as easily broken. The V-Disc label came out as a way to boost morale among forces by the American Federation of Musicians over royalty payments from the major record labels meant an agreement that the V-Disc records were not to be sold commercially. The masters were disposed of. The V-Disc project meant the forces could hear newly recorded music they would not otherwise hear due to the strike. And these included big band, swing, jazz, and marches, often by famous performers, who also put spoken greetings into the records, as we've heard in a couple of these tonight. Because of the larger disc size, the grooves closer spacing, each side of the disc holds up to 6 minutes, so performances could be longer and jams could be extended. And that's what a lot of the Benny Goodman stuff was, longer than that. That's why it really worked good for him. Discs were sent in sets of 30 and included a phonograph, needles, lyric sheets, and feedback forms to gauge which material was the most popular. After the war ended, the cost-cutting producing V-Disc records meant that the project would gradually run down with smaller consignments of discs or later intervals between them. And they continued to provide entertainment to forces stationed overseas as part of the Marshall Plan. The last consignment of 10 discs was set in May 1949. And after this, many masters and discs were destroyed as part of the agreement with the American Federation of Musicians. Over 900 V-Disc record titles were issued, and over 8 million discs were produced. And even though most of the masters were destroyed, as was agreed, because there were over 900 V-Discs around, they were scavenged and saved by many of the special forces people. That's why we have so many of them left today.
Thankfully. In fact, our lead song into the next set for GI Swing Time, the Andrew Sisters with a slightly different version of Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy with one of those intros Dave was talking about.
Hello, all you fellas all over the world. Greetings from the Andrew Sisters. I'm Patty.
I'm Maxine.
And I'm Laverne.
We're making these V-Discs just for you. And along with them, we want to send all our love and kisses. Well, here comes Colonel Bronson. Hello, Colonel. How are you? Good to see you, Colonel.
Well, it's nice of you to come, and on behalf of the Special Service Division, I want to thank you for coming here to make these V-Discs today and to tell you that our records are very, very popular all over the world, but we're getting letters that say something is missing, and they want to hear the Andrews Sisters.
Wonderful.
So I know today that Mitch Air and his boys are going to give out while you sing for our boys overseas.
Well, thank you, Colonel. You sit right over there while we give out with some Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy. How about that, huh?
Company B.
This is the G.I. Jive, man alive. It starts with the bugler blowing reveille over your bed when you arrive. Jack, that's the G.I. Jive. Rootledy-toot, jump in your suit, make a salute. Voot! After you wash and dress, more or less, you go get your breakfast in a beautiful little cafe they call the Mess. Jack, when you convalesce, out of your seat, into the street, make with the feet. Reach! If you're a PVT, your duty is to salute the L-I-E-U-T. But if you brush the L-I-E-U-T, the M-P makes you K-P on the Q-T. This is the G.I. Jive, man alive. They give you a private tank that features a little device called Fluid Drive. Jack, after you revive, chunk all your junk back in the trunk, fall on your bunk, clunk. They give you a private tank that features a little device called a fluid drive. Jack, if you still survive, chunk all your junk back in the trunk, fall on your bunk, clunk. Soon you're counting jeeps, but before you count to five, seems you're right back digging that G.I. Jive.
And Johnny Mercer with the G.I. Jive, following up the Andrews Sisters with their classic Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy.
You know, you don't really realize how much Johnny Mercer actually did for the music industry. I mean, he was a lyricist, a songwriter, and a singer. He also was a record label executive who co-founded Capitol Records with the music industry businessman Buddy DeSilva and Glenn Wallace. Now, he's best known as a Tin Pan Alley lyricist, but also composed music as well. He was also a popular singer who recorded his own songs as well as songs written by others from the mid-1930s through the mid-1950s. Mercer's songs were among the most popular hits of the time, including, now these are songs that were written by him, Moon River, The Days of Wine and Roses, Autumn Leaves, and Hooray for Hollywood. He wrote lyrics to more than 1,500 songs, including compositions for movies and Broadway shows. He received 19 Oscar nominations and won 4 Best Original Song Oscars. What a heck of a tremendously talented guy Johnny Mercer was.
I just thought this was a cool tune. And it is. So here we go. World War II is on, and we got to do us some Hitler hating.
Yeah. That was one of the things that motivated troops just as much as anything else. You hating who the major enemies are, you know, you got, if you,
yeah.
If you like them, you'll be hard to go in and do that job.
Well, and spoofing him was as well as, you know, Mussolini and Hirohito. We saw that in the Stooges. We saw you know, Charlie Chaplin. We saw the Marx Brothers cartoons, all kinds of stuff spoofing the enemy. And was it propaganda? Yeah, maybe. Was it all in fun? Sure. And some of these songs are all in fun. We'll start with Carson Robeson with a letter to Hitler from Mussolini. Jeez, I can't wait.
Dear Hitler, I wrote you a letter, and I used the new address you said. But Moscow returned it this morning with a word written on it in red. It's a word I've been hearing quite often, and I know just how much it hurts. You heard it yourself from the British. Dear Adolf, that word was nerds. I'm writing again for a favor, although I feel sure it's no use. But now that Japan is your fall guy, dear Adolf, oh please turn me loose. I'm longing so much for the old days when they greeted me with bravos. And I like the old salute better without their thumb to their nose. Your Gestapo you sent here to help me don't know what a big shot I am. Please tell them their Bronx cheers annoy me, and I don't like the way they say scram. The last speech I made to my people, I outlined your Russian idea, and instead of the cheers I expected, I heard someone snicker, oh yeah. Last night I dreamed I saw Stalin, and here's a suggestion he made. Better tell your dear old friend Adolf to brush up on his wallpaper trade. And the next time that you see Max Schmeling, here's something that he ought to know. The Yankees have got a new weapon that's known as Brown Bomber Joe. Well, Adolf, I better be closing. So Heil Hitler, Heil Hitler, Heil. And please don't forget that old promise that you'd give me the whole British Isle. P.S. Don't think I'm complaining, but my wardrobe is looking quite sad. Can you spare me an old suit of Gehring's? Maybe it won't smell too bad. Dear Moose, the letter you wrote me is the first laugh I've had in a year. I read it to my old friend Gehring, and he darn near choked on his beer. It's hard for me to be writing, I've still got a very bad cold. I lost my shirt west of Moscow, that's quite a big town, I'm told. I'll bet I've got Stalin all worried, 'cause he don't know where I am. He's hunting me all over Russia, and here I am back in Berlin. I notice that you are complaining, you're getting so many Bronx cheers. Don't blame this on my Gestapo, you've had it coming for years. I recall your brave war declaration after France was laid on the shelf. That's when the Bronx cheer started, I gave you a big one myself. Then I recall how you boasted you'd give little Greece a smack. And there you got caught with your neck out, and you got your red ears pinned back.
The lack of parades must hurt you, for I know how you love to strut. And I'm sorry your wardrobe is shabby, but we've all had to take a big cut. However, I'm sending some leather, and with it I give you this toast. Reinforce the seat of your britches, that's where you need it the most. My promise to give you Great Britain is a promise I'll never forget. I've sent Rudolph Hess to get it, but I haven't heard from him yet. P.S. I'm sorry, old Mussy, you didn't turn out so hot. But you may be sure I'll release you just as soon as I've grabbed all you've got.
In the Bura says he is the master race. He hired right in the Bura's face. Not to love the Bura is a great disgrace. So he hired right in the Bura's face. When Herr Gebel says we own the world in space, he hired right in Herr Gebel's face. Then Hulk Göring says they'll never bomb this place. The hail, right in Herr Göring's face. Is he not the Superman?
Arian Pura Superman?
Yahweh is the Superman.
Super duper Superman.
Is this Nazi land so good? Would you leave it if you could?
Yeah, this Nazi land is good.
We would leave it if we could.
We bring the world new order.
Hire Hitler's world in order.
Everyone of foreign race, they love the poorest state. When we bring to the world disorder, then the poorest says we never will be slaves. The Heil, but still we work like slaves. While the poorer brags and lies and rants and raves, the Heil, and work into our graves. Then the Bura yells, I gotta have more shells. The Heil,
for him we make more shells. If one little shell should blow him right to me.
The Heil, and wouldn't that be swell?
Spike Jones, you're a sap, and their Führer's face is famous tune.
Well, that was actually the Disney version. came out in January. Donald Duck's only Oscar. It was Donald Duck's only Oscar award-winning short in all of Disney's history there. And it was from the short called The Fuhrer's Face. And it was a song that actually had been recorded a couple times before that. In July, it was recorded by Johnny Bond, which I was familiar with. And the thing about Spike Jonze, who recorded his actually his was released in September, so I think it was late August. He recorded two versions of it. One used the trombo when they say Heil, then the trombo womp, Heil womp. And then the, for the second side, he recorded it with the Bertaphone, which was a rubber razz or a Bronx cheer, as you would say, in its place. And he sent it off to New York, and thinking about it, Spike got a little worried. He wanted that version released. He flew to New York to talk to the RCA executive, say, look, this is the version you got to go with. Kind of a wasted trip, because that's the version that RCA had actually decided to go with before he even got there. It was released under RCA Victor Bluebird Records number 11586. And that's the one that most people remember, is that one with the good old Bronx cheer in there.
Yep. And the Hitler hating has just begun, really, because he gave the world a lot to work with, because he was not a good man. And we have the Golden Gate Jubilee Quartet. Now, he was talking about Stalin, who wasn't Stalin.
Yeah, Germany.
Well, no, Stalin wasn't Stalin.
What's that, Dave?
I was just gonna say Russians probably lost more of their citizens during World War II than almost any other country, just because
that's
the way that Hitler rushed in there, which is also his downfall, because then he was fighting war on essentially three fronts instead of just the two that he had been fighting before.
Yep. So sorry, Adolf. Another historical song. Again, the Golden Gate Jubilee Quartet, Stalin. He wasn't Stalin.
Well, no, Stalin wasn't Stalin when he told the beast of Berlin that they'd never rest contented till they had driven him from the land. So he called the Yanks and English and proceeded to extinguish the Fuhrer and his vermin. This is how it all began.
Now the devil, he was reading in the good book one day how the Lord created Adam to walk the righteous way. And it made the devil jealous. He turned green up to his horns, and he swore by things unholy that he'd make one of his own. So he packed two suitcases full of grief and misery, and he caught the midnight special going down in Germany. Then he mixed his lies and hatred with fire and brimstone. Then the devil sat upon it. That's how Adolf was born. Now Adolf got the notion that he was the master race, and he swore he'd bring new order and put mankind in its place. So he set his scheme in motion and was winning everywhere, until he up and got the notion for to kick that Russian bear. Well, now Stalin wasn't Stalin when he told the beast of Berlin that he'd never rest contented till they had driven him from the land. So he called the Yanks and English and proceeded to extinguish the Fuhrer and his vermin. This is how it all began. Yep, he kicked that noble Russian, but it wasn't very long before Adolf got suspicious that he had done something wrong. 'Cause that bear grabbed the Fuhrer and gave him an awful fight. 17 months he scrapped the Fuhrer, tooth and claw, day and night. Then that bear smacked the Fuhrer with the mighty armored paw, and Adolf broke all records running backwards to Kharkov. Then Goebbels sent a message to the people everywhere that if they couldn't hit the Fuhrer, God, don't hit that Russian bear. Well, now Stalin wasn't Stalin when he told the beast of Berlin that he'd never rest contented till they had driven him from the land. So we called the Yanks and English and proceeded to extinguish the Fuhrer and his vermin. This is how it all began. Then this bear calls on his buddy, the noble fighting Yank, and they sent the Fuhrer running with their ships and planes and tanks. Now the Fuhrer's having nightmares, cause the Fuhrer knows darn well that the devil's done wrote to welcome on his residence. And well, Stalin wasn't stalling, and he told the beast of Berlin that he'd never rest contented till they had driven him from the land. So we called the Yanks and English and proceeded to extinguish the Fuhrer and his vermin. That is how it all began.
Three blind rats, see how they run. Hitler, Benito, and then the Jap. They all started out with a yip and a yap, and they all wound up with their tails in a trap. Three blind rats. From Newfoundland to Guadalcanal, the Yankees chased the Axis. Rooty toot toot, we give them a boot. Goes the Axis, a heel and a toe and a pokey-o, doolittle doodah to Tokyo, booted them on their hidey-ho. Goes the Axis. Mother Goose is busy keeping up with the times. The world has gone so dizzy, she's had to rewrite her nursery rhymes. London Bridge is all blowed up, so the Germans say, and Yankee Doodle came to town should now be sung this way. Oh, Adolf Hitler came to town riding on a cannon. Yankee Doodle turned him round and gave his pants a famine. They chased him here, they chased him there, and got him in position. Stuck a pitchfork where they should and hurt his intuition. Good morning, Schickel Gruber. Why did you break so soon? You swore that you would rule the world and maybe the stars and moon. What happened to that super race you had in 39? Mein Kampf has backfired in your face and trickled down your spine. Oh, where Stadt Rudolf Hess? Oh, where can he be? I sent him to England a long time ago. I wonder if he stayed for tea. Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun when the Germans run from a great big Russian sleigh. Oh, jingle bells, look at them Russians grin. They're dreaming of a red Christmas marching through Berlin.
Yeah, man, turn the tide. turn the tide, MacArthur's side,
off the map, Dinky Jap. Ha ha ha, Benito's jaw, beat that man, Hitler's fan, once before, win this war. Now we're gonna fight, gonna fight, gonna fight, now we're gonna fight, yeah man, win this war.
Buy a bond and wear a grin,
yeah man, wear a grin.
Buy and buy and buy to win,
yeah man, buy to win, buy to win. Wear a grin, turn the tide, MacArthur's side, off the map, Dinky Jap. Ha ha ha, Benito's jaw, beat that man, Hitler's fan, once before, win this war. Now we're gonna fight, gonna fight, gonna fight, now we're gonna fight, yeah man, win this war.
Isn't that our president?
Yeah man, president.
Are we with him 100%?
Yeah man, 100%.
100% president, I do win, wear a grin, turn the tide, MacArthur's side, off the map, Dinky Jap. Ha ha ha, Benito's jaw, beat that man, Hitler's fan, once before, win this war.
Now we're gonna fight, gonna fight, gonna fight, now we're gonna fight, yeah man, win this war.
Yep, and that was all about the win, and that was Spike Jones once again with Yankee Doodler. Before that, the return of Carson Robeson with a set of nursery rhymes that were a lot of fun, I thought.
They were. I like the jingle bells.
Yes. Very festive. Very, very holiday. Festive. Very nice. All world wars should be festive at some point or another.
Okay. Yeah, you know, you just don't want to forget what happened so that we don't repeat it. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you have to always be careful to do. Learn your history so you don't repeat it.
Exactly. I remember once I was working in a sales environment, and the boss was he was a volatile dude. And this was a long time ago when politically correct behavior was not necessarily a requirement. And he was just shredding this guy in the meeting, in a sales meeting, you know. And he was a friend of mine, and I kind of took umbrage to it. And the guy had said something. He goes, "Don't listen to him. He's an idiot." And I said, "You can learn a lot from an idiot." "No, you can't." So I started torturing this guy all day long. I'd pass his office, you know, for one reason or another, and stick my head in his door and say, "You can learn a lot from an idiot." And the guy was fuming by the end of the day. "Get my office." He goes, "Now tell me exactly what you can learn from an idiot." They says, "You can learn exactly what not to do. Like, you know, argue with me." to your point about learning from history.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. To not people get in that kind of position to do all those nasty, horrible things. And the thing is, I think the nation at large always knew from the beginning that victory was not even a question, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It was, I think that the Japanese waited, Hitler did not want the Japanese to attack Pearl Harbor. Japanese thought, well, because of the democracy, it takes so long to mobilize that there's no way they can get in this war before we can have it finished off. And it was just amazing the way our industries just turned around and made things that they never made before. I mean, Goodyear and Ford were making airplanes, and then the Jeep Willys came out and things like that were just almost instantaneous as soon as, you know, everybody put their mind forth to the war effort. It just changed everything so quickly that, and so much ingenuity that we had as well. And that's something that the Japanese did not plan on.
No, we got going quickly as a nation. Everything.
Because we were divided before
manufacturing,
that. So
everything.
People. Yeah, we were so divided before that, especially with as many German Americans as we had in this country. They did not want to be thinking about attacking their homeland even at that point yet. But it wasn't until the Japanese attacked and we declared war on the Japanese, but essentially said, "Well, let's go after this German guy more because he's a lot more entrenched." And that's so we worked for basically We concentrated. We worked on both ends, but we concentrated on Europe and then moved towards Japan.
The Pacific,
If we could liberate Europe, then they could be with us to help with Japan, which would mean it would just make it come that much quicker.
I wonder if any of the listeners had parents that were in the Second War. My father was in the U.S. Army Air Corps. There was not an Air Force yet. It had not been called the Air Force
right.
yet.
It was called the Air Corps, right?
Yeah.
My wife's father was in it. He worked on repairing airplanes, which is not what he did before life or after he got out of the war. My dad just passed away in December. He was 83. He was too young to actually be in World War II, although he did remember my grandfather hiding some black market sugar and flour in their attic.
Oh, shame for shame. I'm turning them in. 90 years late, but I'm turning them in. My wife's father was in the infantry, Dave, and he was all over Europe, Italy, Austria. He said was a beautiful country, the parts that he was in. Just a lot of forests, rivers, mountains, beautiful country. But he was also in North Africa too.
Wow, kind of moved his way up, I'm sure, from North Africa to Italy, then up north. So
yeah, a little bout of dysentery kept him in North Africa longer than was originally planned for him. He recovered and went on to march through a lot of Europe. And the spirit of winning was there, man, and it was in the music too.
Yes, it was. Very much so, as we've heard all night long tonight, and I'm sure you've got a few more tunes yet coming on tonight.
That we do, sir, good sir, and you had mentioned earlier how Bing and the Andrews sisters got together. Well, this one's called A Hot Time in Berlin.
There'll be a hot time in the town of Berlin when the Yanks go marching in. I want to be their boy, spread some joy when they take old Berlin. There'll be a hot time in the town of Berlin when the Brooklyn boys begin to take the joint apart and tear it down when they take old Berlin. They're gonna start a row and show 'em how we paint the town back in Kokomo. They're gonna take a hike through Hitler's Reich and change that Heil to what you know, Joe. There'll be a hot time in the town of Berlin when the Yanks go marching in. You could never keep 'em happy down on the farm after they take Berlin.
There'll be a hot time in the town of Berlin when the Yanks go marching in. I want to be their boy, spread some joy when they take over Berlin.
And may I join you?
There'll be a hot time in the town of Berlin when the Brooklyn boys begin to take the joint apart, tear it down when they take over Berlin. They're gonna start a row and show them how you paint the town back in. They're gonna take a hike through Hitler's Reich and change the Heil to give me some skin. There'll be a hot time
in the town of Berlin when the Yanks go marching in. You're never gonna keep them happy down on the farm after they take Berlin.
When the Yanks go marching in,
go marching in.
I wanna be their boy, spread some joy when
they take Berlin, the Yanks go marching in.
There'll be a hot time in the town of Berlin when the Brooklyn boys begin,
the boys begin
to take the joint apart, tear it down when they take Berlin.
There'll be a hot time
town of Berlin when the Yanks go marching in.
Happy down on the farm.
The life of these would never please. They shudder with alarm.
No, you couldn't keep them happy down on the farm. After they take Berlin.
Come on, Bill, come on, Joe, grab your gun and off we go to fight those dirty rats across the sea. Grab your saddle off the rack, put it on your pony's back, and we'll brand those rats with a V. Remember, we need each hand to ride for his Uncle Sam. We'll have a rodeo down in Tokyo and a roundup in old Berlin. We'll rope 'em, we'll run 'em, we'll bomb 'em and gun 'em when the Yanks go marching in. We'll hogtie old Hitler and all of his crew. We'll bulldog old Toto and then we'll have a rodeo down in Tokyo and a roundup in old Berlin.
We'll have a rodeo down in Tokyo and a roundup in old Berlin. We'll rope 'em, we'll run 'em, we'll bomb 'em.
Down in Tokyo, a roundup in old Berlin. We'll rope 'em, we'll run 'em, we'll bomb 'em and gun 'em when the Yanks go marching in. We'll hogtie Hitler and all of his crew. We'll bulldog old Tojo, and when we are through, we'll have a rodeo down in old Tokyo and a roundup in old Berlin.
Connor.
them two do. Sure got themselves in a jam. Fritz and Tojo sure got themselves in a jam. They gotta go now, across in my Uncle Sam.
Of Erie House Radio. That was Eddie Condon's jazz band with the Uncle Sam Blues. And before that, Ozzy Waters with Rodeo in Tokyo, Roundup in Berlin, and of course, Bing and the Andrews Sisters before that.
Yeah, the World War II really made the Andrews Sisters. They made all the trips and all the war pictures. It seemed like if they needed a song in there, the Andrews Sisters showed up for that. Very melodic, but I think World War II made them as much as anything else.
Now,
you know, I got to thinking. Go ahead.
Did the USO get started as a result of World War II?
Yeah, unless you go by Stan Freberg's version, yeah. I think it really was that for the... Stan Freberg had it started by Lincoln. He wanted to be an entertainer in the Civil War. And it was... USO for Union soldiers only, you know.
Yeah, why not?
It wasn't for the rebels, you know.
Sure, let's have Lincoln do some ballet. He's a vampire killer.
Well,
why
no. He wanted to be a song and dance man. That's what Lincoln wanted to be, according to Stan Freberg. But I got to thinking here as we were winding down in the show how actually I've produced three historical type programs. About World War II for the radio, for the radio service. Two of them won state awards. One was, of course, the one we've aired here, Akron, during World War II. And another one was, it's a series I called History in the First Person. These are people who lived the history. And the one that won was a guy that was in the Marines. And he fought on Iwo Jima. He fought his way up to Germany. He was one of the few, up to Japan. He was one of the few Americans that actually stepped foot on Japan Island, Japan Island. He also captured a big Japanese flag, which he smuggled. They weren't allowed to take. He smuggled it out in the back of his shirt. That flag now is in the Marine Museum down in, I believe, North Carolina it is. And another one that was really interesting, it was actually so interesting I couldn't stop it, and it turned it into a one-hour programs of History in the First Person. It was a woman from Germany who lived in Germany and escaped, and the trouble she had escaping. Her husband was killed during the war. He was a German soldier, and they had no idea what was actually going on in those internment camps. The regular people didn't. And the trials and tribulations she had to do to sneak to get out of Germany as the Russians moved in and were taking over, and how she came to America. It's just absolutely an enthralling story. I was so pleased to be the producing end of that particular story.
Sometimes I forget, Dave, how much radio life you had before your Erie House life here. And that stuff would be fascinating to listen to. We got another little mini set here as we start to wind down, as Dave said. It's time to celebrate victory. World War II. This one's called "I'm Gonna Get Lit Up When the Lights Go On in London." I'm not sure who the artist is. Here we go.
A little bit of everything, a polka or two,
some Dixieland jazz with Spike Jones. We covered everything.
Yeah, you got the gospel in there. You got some swing and some jazz. You name it. We've had it tonight.
Boogie woogie. We had it all. And there's quite a time in history, World War II. We got a little extra bonus time here. Maybe we can sneak in just a real quick tune for no particular reason.
I thought you had one more song, or you were saving that for the last one.
Saving that for last. That's what we're going out with.
Okay. I'm sorry. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
Very good. You the boss, man.
Well, I don't know about that.
I do.
A boss is just a backwards double SOB. Here's one more tune. What just for the hell of it?
All of me. Why not take all of me? Can't you see? I'm no good without you. Take my lips, I want to lose them. And take my arms, I'll never use them. Your goodbye left me with eyes that cry. Oh, how can I get along without you? You took the part that once was my heart, so why not take all of me? All of me, why not take all of me? Oh, can't you see, I'm no good without you. Take my lips,
That's the subtitle, Angel, just for the hell of it. Also known as All of Me by Jill Corey, for no particular reason. Well, that was an easy 500, huh, Dave?
Okay. You bet.
Time to get busy with the next 500. We're going we're going back to sci-fi land next weekend with more planets to see. X-1, Exploring Tomorrow, and 2000+. And hopefully the return of Gar, if he's feeling better. I should hope so by then. Saturday, CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Yep, all kinds of back to normal, if we have such a thing as normalness.
Yep. Well, it's been quite a ride here for 500 shows. Blessed to have you guys here live with us in the chat. GGSI Paper, Fogsbane, CW. Angel, just everybody.
Linda,
good night.
Linda Lou.
Linda Lou was here for a while. Yep. And the
and
billions
the
and billions
and
that
almost,
we can't see.
Yeah. That's right. That's what I was going to get to. But you said it so much more eloquently, Dale.
Well, it's, yeah, well, 500 more. We're working on it. There's actually plenty enough radio to do that. How many shows have we done?
Crazy.
How many shows have we done?
Up to date, we have, not including the ones from the last year, we have, slide this over, I have for the year, 861 shows with 499 different clips.
Wow. We're giving Vincent Price the night off, gang. He has worked hard for us over the last four and three quarter years. And we're going to wrap it up with a song that was used very, very effectively in a very fun film, but it's a classic World War II song that it's how I feel kind of about trade shows and hoping to see some of you folks in real life. But and some of you I have already. So kind of thinking about that as we end with a song that was used in Dr. Strangelove, oddly enough. It's Vera Miles with Someday We'll Meet Again.
Again, don't know where, don't know when.
Probably next weekend.
But I know we'll meet again some sunny day.
Get the tissues.
Smiling through, just like you always do.
Good night, folks, and thanks
till
again.
The blue skies drive the dark clouds far away. So will you please say hello to the folks that I know? Tell them I won't be long. They'll be happy to know that as you saw me go, I was
we'll
meet again, don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day.
Do you mind turning off the radio?